Hello, this is Susan with Sight into Sound in Houston, Texas. Welcome to day 31 of our series of Lenten readings and meditations. And today's words are by Father Richard Rohr, and they're about inner transformation. Jesus clearly believed in change. In fact, the first public word out of his mouth was later translated into the Greek imperative verb metanoiete, which literally means change your mind or go beyond your mind. See Matthew 4:17 and Mark 1:15. Unfortunately, in the 4th century, St. Jerome translated the word into Latin as penitentia, repent or do penance, initiating a host of moralistic connotations that have colored Christians' understanding of the Gospels ever since. The word metanoiete referred to a primal change of mind, worldview or way of processing and perceiving, and only by corollary about a specific change in behavior. This common misunderstanding puts the cart before the horse. We think we can change a few externals, while our underlying worldview often remains narcissistic and self-referential. This misunderstanding contributed to a puritanical, externalized, and largely static notion of the Christian message that has followed us to this day. Faith became about external requirements that could be enforced, punished, and rewarded, much more than an actual change of heart and mind, which Jesus described as something that largely happens in secret, where your Father who sees in secret can reward you. Matthew chapter 6, verses 4 and 6 and 18. Jesus invariably emphasized inner motivation and intention. For example, he taught, "You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you, everyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart." Matthew 5:27-28. Jesus made religion about interior change and purity of heart. Matthew 5:8. More than visible behaviors or rituals or anything that would have a social payoff or punishment. Jesus didn't focus on individual sin outside or over there where we can point to it, punish it, and try to change it. That is too easy and mostly ineffective. Without making light of evil, he showed how to actually overcome and heal it. Sin, for Jesus, was the very act of accusing. Satan means the accuser. Whenever we try to expel and accuse others, and somehow leave ourselves or our group out of the equation, we end up sinning. We must first recognize our own complicity in evil before we can transform it. We see this pattern when Jesus himself was faced with 3 temptations to power. Matthew chapter 4 verses 1 to 11. Until we face our own demons, none of us are prepared to fight evil elsewhere. Jesus thus stood in solidarity with individuals who were excluded, deemed unworthy, or demonized. Why? Because the excluded from any group always reveal the unquestioned idolatries of that group. He even parted with sinners and tax collectors, and the pure hated him for it. See Luke 15:2. The way Jesus tried to change people was by loving and healing them, accusing only their accusers. Why did we not notice that? His harshest words of judgment were reserved for those who perpetuated systems of inequality and oppression, and who, through religion itself, thought they were sinless and untouchable. Jesus did not so much love people once they changed, but he loved people so that they could change. Father Richard Rohr is a Franciscan priest of the New Mexico province. He founded the Center for Action and Contemplation in Albuquerque, New Mexico, where he currently serves as founding director. Father Richard is the author of more than 20 books, is an internationally known speaker and is a regular contributor to Sojourners magazine. As a spiritual leader, Father Richard teaches primarily on mysticism, non-dual consciousness, and contemplation, with a particular emphasis on how these affect the social justice issues of our time. He also has many conferences recorded on CDs. Thank you.